Hey there, it's Dan Washburn, and you're listening to the Music's Journey Show with my friend, Kim Sear.
Man, I love this old house, especially this time of year. Snow is blowing through the oak trees, youngins grinning ear to ear. Mama's busy in the kitchen, making way more than we need. Feels like heaven by the fireplace, lights are twinkling on the tree. Pretty bows and pretty paper, pretty wonderful to me. It's Christmas in the country when all the world is right. There's nowhere else on earth I'd rather be.
You just heard a snippet of the new Christmas song, Christmas in the Country, by Canadian country singer, songwriter, and producer Dan Washburn. Dan is no stranger to much of the country music world, both at home and abroad. His credits include over 20 albums as a singer-songwriter, producer, and bassist. Dan was band leader for the late Colleen Peterson for several years. He also toured with George Fox, Terry Sheridan, and was the lead singer spokesperson for the band South Mountain. He has guested as a singer bassist for many gospel shows, both live and on television. Dan has shared the stage on shows with Emmylou Harris, Pirates of the Mississippi, Waylon Jennings, Toby Keith, Marty Stewart, and Martina McBride, just to name a few. Dan had great success releasing 5 singles to radio before being asked to audition for the award-winning band South Mountain. Dan became their lead singer, bassist, and spokesperson in Canada and signed to Stony Plain Records that was distributed worldwide by Warner Brothers. The band toured Canada and Europe exclusively and were in high demand. They had a successful album, Where There's a Will, offering 4 chart successes and several Canadian Country Music Association nominations. Dan has hosted 2 television shows for Cogeco Canada, highlighting Canadian up-and-coming talent. He is a much sought-after writer and producer, splitting his time between Nashville and home. And home is Stirling, Ontario, Canada. Dan is currently working on his 3rd album and seeing his music being placed in more movies in the upcoming year. Dan toured Ireland in September of this year, and he will be singing on a Caribbean cruise in February of 2023. Dan had just returned from traveling to Nashville and writing with other established songwriters. Here to talk about all his latest news and projects, including his brand new Christmas single, is Canadian singer, songwriter, and producer, the one and only Dan Washburn. Hi, how are you?
Just tired, catching up. I know I've had a week to catch up, but I still don't feel like I've caught up on my sleep.
I know, and it's hard to do that, especially when you're on the road, just to try to get your bearings back a little bit, right? Well, I can't imagine, because you've been on the road so much with all these different projects and stuff.
Since September, I've been really busy, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just going to settle down now for, you know, 2 or 3 months, and then maybe in the spring. I'm going back. Well, I'm back to Nashville regularly, so I'll be there in February and April, and I don't think any more in between that. I think I'm trying to get it around to anywhere for 6 to 8 weeks, so I've got a couple of different artists that I'm producing, so.
You've been doing so much, especially recently. Yeah, which is nice, because after the last 3 years, so many of the artists haven't really performed a whole lot.
Oh,
but man, it must have
been terrible, right?
Yeah, it must have felt so great for you to get out there and to be able to perform again.
Well, my first anything after 3 years was going to Ireland. So
oh.
It was like the opposite end of the spectrum, you know. So that was kind of great. You know, it's always been on my bucket list. I knew that I have Irish heritage on my mom's side, but my 4 times great came over from the famine on ships. But then I learned about that, and I'd written a song, and I'd recorded it with an Irish fellow, wrote it with him, and we recorded it. And then we did a video on one of the tall ships over there that you, the replica of one of the ships used to bring my ancestors over.
Oh, wow.
And so it was pretty, the whole thing, it was very emotional. But I mean, you don't realize, I didn't realize how connected I was. I remember like a tear coming down my face as I'm looking at Ireland in the early morning as we're landing in the airplane. And I didn't realize just how connected I was to it. And I never really knew.
Hmm.
And then I've learned more since just before I went. And then of course being there and then talking with some of the people and finding out what everybody went through just to survive, just to live.
Mm-hmm.
It was tough, and I didn't realize how connected I was to that country until I spent some time there for a couple of weeks. And and then they come over here, and it felt like seeing family again, you know, like immediately.
Oh, that's wonderful. That must have been so exciting, and just to see the landscape there. And that's just one of the places I've always wanted to go. I know it's so beautiful, but the people
it
are
is.
Beautiful.
It's a lot like where I live in Ontario here, just north of Belleville, Ontario, and the area, and you go slightly north up towards Algonquin, right, and all everything in between. It's a lot like that.
Oh, is it
hills
really?
And trees. It's just gorgeous.
Oops.
The people are the salt of the earth. They really are.
They are, and they are, and they are so welcoming, and that's what I've heard. And I know so many people that have gone there in just the last year. And
if you spend a few days there, you start to talk like this, and you can't help it, you just go. There's nothing you can do about it. Come on over. Come here. Come here. Or when you're saying goodbye on the phone. Okay, goodbye. Bye. I mean, they're so funny. The first time I was talking to somebody on the phone and saying goodbye, it was like saying goodbye for 3 minutes. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go now. And the one fellow, he's trying to talk to me, he wants to tell me a story. Don, I'm going to tell you. Come here. I'm telling you. I'll tell you right now. Come here, Don. I'll tell you. Okay. And then he goes, it was like being down in the East Coast of Canada with my
uncle. Oh, Bernie, so true.
Down in Nova Scotia. I mean, I was just about crap myself. So it took me a couple of weeks not laughing at their isms. I just love them, though. Mom and my wife are giggling at me, and she's just saying, you're mad. You're mad. Even now I can do it. I'm trying to not. To make my. And then if I'm down south, I'm one of these guys that, unfortunately, adopts the accent of where I am. So if I was 2 or 3 weeks down south, if I'm down in Nashville longer than 10 days, I'm telling you, it's like, yeah, buddy, that dog, huh? Come on over here. I don't know. It's just infectious. But the Irish gets in you, and you can't stop it.
I know. My boss is Irish. And at the radio station, and when he gets into his stories, it's like, okay, I know I have to go grab a cup of coffee or tea, and I have to
right?
sit down for a good hour.
I know. And over there, they say, come on, grab a cuppa, let's go. We'll get a cuppa. C-U-P-P-A. I think it's a real Irish word, cuppa, C-U-P-P-A.
I think so. It's so funny.
Well, that's amazing we have that connection. That's cool.
I know.
Have to go. If you get a chance to go, just do it.
It's on my bucket list. It is on my bucket list because as a photographer too, it's just something that I really love the landscapes there. Same thing as...
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I'll connect you up with a fellow by the name of Thomas Jackman, who is a brilliant traditional singer.
Mm.
But he can show you some of the most amazing sights, like off the beaten path.
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
He took us to one spot. We go way the heck up this hill. And we're driving up and we're up and we're up and we're on this old mountain. We get up to the top, and we're not quite to the top. And he stops at the side, right, nothing. He says, come here, get out, come on. So what are you doing, Thomas? You're not a serial killer or anything, are you, lad? No, come here, get over here, you dumb bollocks, you. Or gobshite, gobshite's another word, gobshite. I learned that one. So he says, come here, and I'm standing there, and he says, see down there? And I'm looking, and I see all these trees. He said, now look close, there's an opening there. And I'm like, oh my gosh, there is. He says, look through that opening, and you can see about 2.5 miles down at the mountain.
Oh, wow.
And it's just a beautiful scene. So I brought my camera. I got my camera out, and I zoomed right in through that hole. Oh, my gosh. Just, like, you can't even make it up.
You're going to have to post some of these photos.
Yeah, I should, you know. I've got some. I should. There's some gorgeous spots we saw. The tall ship, that was a very emotional thing, shooting the video that day. I totally lost my bleep in the morning after I found out how hard it was for them to get onto the ship, just to get there, just to live. The encounter with the Irish is going to become a way of the rest of my life. I mean,
that's nice to have impact like that.
I've made friends for life. I've got songwriters, friends over there that I've got for life. Well, I have in the States and in Canada, but I mean, I've made some new ones over there that are friends for life. Just brilliant people and good writers. They love songs. They love the stories. Music is everywhere. Music is everything. I mean, you can't go anywhere in Ireland and not find a pub with music in it and playing.
Yep. And it's just something like that's universal, like we used to do.
Like we used to be.
Yes. Yes. It's the one thing I miss.
I do too. I really do.
It's not the same. Like everybody used to go out and be the first thing everybody would do on a Saturday night. We'd all get together with friends and just go and listen to live music, right?
Yeah. Sometimes at our, when I was growing up, actually, because I'm a wee bit older than you, I'm expected.
I'm not saying.
We had house parties. And we always had people playing music at our house.
Well, my parents, like, when I was young, I remember being like 5 and 6 years old, and my dad and my mom would invite the neighborhood to our house. But a lot of the teens would come over every Friday night, and my dad would have the music playing, and he would teach everybody how to dance. And that's how I love music so much. It
was
because of that.
I learned to dance with my mom in the living room, with my dad playing the guitar, and my uncle and my grandfather playing the fiddle, and there was stuff going on everywhere.
Oh, nice.
Insane.
Nice. See, we got a lot in common. We got a lot
every weekend. And my mom, you didn't want to, but you wanted to learn how to dance, but you didn't want to dance with your mom because, like, oh, mom, no. Get over here and dance with your mother. Okay, fine. Don't tell anybody. Just get over here right now or I'll give you a slap. I had a great mom. I miss my mom. She died. My mom died very young, but she was the life of the party, and to know her was to love my mom. It took you a whole 5 minutes to fall in love with my mom.
Oh, same as mine. Yeah.
Yeah, see? That's the Irish blood.
I think so.
I believe that with everything in me, because the Irish are that hospitable. They'll tell you, look, I love you. Now, if you do it again, I'm going to smack you right across the side of the head, but I do love you.
Is that where that expression come from?
Yeah, it's true.
Used to hear that all the time. It was a joke, but, you know, we would hear it all the time. Now, you had a fantastic trip to Nashville as well. You just got back from there. And you had royalty that you were with in Nashville for a co-write. Tell us about that.
Dan Buckingham. Oh, my gosh.
Mm.
Whenever you write, well, I've written with some pretty cool writers like Kim Tribble, who passed away last year.
Yes. Yeah.
Which I was really sad. I loved Kim. He was a good man, and we'd written some good songs. And John Scott Sherrill, who's still with us, and we write every now and then. I haven't written with him for a year. I need to look him up just to say hey. But he's an old hippie, and he's a brilliant writer. But then this one, Jan Buckingham, and I reached out to Jan and said, Jan, we have a lot of friends in common, like, you know, and this and that, and we went back and forth. She said, you know, Chris Luzinger, yeah, he has my guitar player. I love Chris. I said, yeah, he's a good man. She said, fine. I got Tuesday afternoon, get together, let's do that. I said, okay. So, you know, if you look up what Jan's done, she had some big hits. She had hits with Pam Tillis, like Queen of Denial in the 90s. She had some pretty good cuts. She's had like 78 major cuts.
Wow.
Yeah, which is, and I think a whack of them have been top 10. So, you know, she's bought and sold several houses. So she's done all right.
She's talented.
So, yeah, I went over to her place. She's like, okay, before we start, and of course, when you walk in, there's the platinum and the gold records around the wall and all the stuff, you know, the usual thing when you're writing with, and that's just what they decorate their walls with because they got to put them somewhere.
Yep.
So they put gold and platinum records up. We use paintings at my house, but you know, and the odd little, there's a music corner that I have some of my accolades over there, but anyway, so... So you're taking it all in. It's kind of a funky house. It looked like it was built in the 70s. It probably hasn't been changed much except the odd coat of paint. And she's a nice lady, but she looks at me, she says, real serious. Okay, but y'all shut up or stop talking or bleep, 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 bleep. but I can't really say. And she said, that means just stop for a minute. It doesn't mean I don't like you, Dan. But I just need you to stop now. Something I got to write. I went, oh, yes, ma'am. I'm just, so when you're with royalty, it's like, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, sir. No, ma'am. You bet. Absolutely. Yep. You call it. Oh, yeah. Right? Because you don't, till you get going. And then and she's looking at her phone. Every few seconds, her phone's making bleep noises. She's looking to see who's texting her. And I'm like, and I'm trying not to be annoyed, but it's a little bit of a pisser. You're a bit annoyed, right? So she's doing all that, and I'm like, holy crap, what have I walked into here? And then she says, okay, oh, yes, one more thing before what? I got my guitar, and I'm tuning it, trying not to be stupid and look like an idiot and like I just fell off the turnip truck. And so I'm tuning my guitar, and she says, okay, one more thing now. Yep. And she said, so we went through our ideas. And I had four basically good ideas. She said, I don't like that one. That one's pretty good. Tell me what this, what does it look like? I tell her. She says, okay, let's hang on to that. What's this other one like that? Then this. She says, oh, I really like that. Okay, those two. Let's not do those two. These two. Let's see. Nope, I think this is a better one. Okay, let's write this one. Yes, ma'am. Right? Because you have no say. Yes, ma'am. They're all my ideas. So it's like, he's not going to care which one I do. So she just picks what she likes. Because it's, yes, ma'am. So then I'm tuning my guitar, trying not to look like an idiot, or an idiot, as they say in Ireland. Oh, you bloody idiot. So I'm tuning and getting set. She's, okay, one more thing. I want you to sing me a verse and a chorus of something you've written. I don't care what it is. Now? Yes, now would be good. Yes, ma'am. Grab my pick, grab my thing. There's a song that I put out. They didn't play it in Canada, but it was on hold with Trace Atkins for 6 months.
Oh, wow.
It's a good song. They wouldn't play it in Canada because it's a country song. It's called Still Do. And I'd stack it up with anybody. It's a good, it's going to a new publisher, so I think it may find some home yet down in the States. Anyway, so I sang a verse and of course I Still Do. She's got her eyes closed, and I'm like, wow, this is okay. This is weird, but that's
she's
okay.
She's got to feel it.
But that's what she wants. She wants to really listen.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that. So I was like, wow, she's serious about this. And then I did my verse and a chorus. And she's like, she opens her eyes. She goes, Dan, you can sing. Said, thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. I've been doing this for four years than I care to divulge right now. But you don't say that. You just shut the frig up. And you say, yes, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you, Jan.
Little words.
And, said, and that song is a good song. Did you write that song? I went, yes, ma'am. You did. I said, it was a solo, right? She said, really? Well, it's a really good song. She said, okay. She reaches over, grabs her phone, turns it off, puts it down. Okay, the phone's gone. All right, it's on.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I said, okay, do you want me to start playing? No, no, we don't need the guitar for a while. Put it away. Anita Hill's like that, too. A woman who wrote two Pina Coladas with a couple of guys for Garth. And mm-hmm. She had five cuts with Garth now. Benita's the same way. So you write and you write and you write. And we get the storyline and we got it going. And I got a few lines. I got some suggestions. She says, oh, I like that idea. Okay, okay, yeah. Or she'll look at you and go, no, 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 that's not going to work. Oh, no, no, we have to do it this way. Yes, ma'am. And then at the end of a couple hours, we got the song all roughed out, all the lyrics. We have a couple of verses, a chorus, and a little bridge, a wee bridge. She says, okay, I'm not going to be involved in the music on this one. She said, I think you need to do the music on it. But now, she said, now would be good. So I pick up the guitar, and I'm like, okay, Dan, be brilliant. Dear God, please help me be brilliant. So I come up with this. I noodled around for about not even two or three minutes, maybe about 30 or 40 seconds. And then all of a sudden, it came clear what I needed to play, and I played it, and I da-da-da-da-da, and then I decided, okay, I think I'm going to try a sing on it. She said, I like what you're playing. That's all she said. That sounds really good, and it fits the track, fits the song.
Wow.
Yes, thank you. And so then in 10 minutes, I had the music done, and I laid it down on the iPad. She says, oh, man, I want to hear this when you're done demoing this. This is going to be badass. I said, thank you, Jan. And after about 3 hours, I'm leaving her place. We were in and out and done all the pleasantries and the audition and all of the stuff, and I was gone.
Wow. What an experience.
Yeah, I mean, she wants to keep in touch, and it was very good. It was very cool.
So when you left, how did you feel?
That's the weirdest, best question you could have asked me, Kim. I didn't know what the hell to think. I was like, well, that was different. I said, nobody's going to believe me. So, and I caught up with my friends. Caroline Liberto, who you're going to hear about, she's friggin' brilliant. She doesn't even know how good she is. I just love her to pieces. She's a good soul. She's a lovely, lovely, lovely person, but a great writer and a decent singer. She's got a very quirky voice. Anyway, Caroline goes down. Her first write in Nashville, I hook her up. I got her writing with Holly Ashby, who I write with regularly, who signed a Woody Bomar's Green Hills Publishing right on the row, right on 17th. So I left Caroline with Holly for the afternoon. And I said, you're in good hands. They got to know each other the Monday because we'd written a very cool song together, the three of us. And I left them there. And then I caught up with them. They were back at our place. And we cranked over a bottle of wine. And they looked at me. And they were both dying to know, right? And we sat down. We have a glass of wine. And they're like, come on. What was it like? So I'm telling them. And Caroline's eyes are wide, you know, a deer in the headlight. Look, you're kidding. So no. And Holly's just smiling because she's heard all this kind of stuff before. She's a natural writer, so nothing surprises her. And then we just laughed and had a glass of wine. I shared the experience and the story, and it was pretty good. I mean, I played them the song because I said, I'm not sure what to think of it. And then Holly listened to it. She said, if you produce the track, it's going to be pretty badass. I said, you know, it's funny. That's what Jan said. And she said, well, I think she's right. So that was that.
So nice. That's such a great story. That is really good. I can see all those little hand signals that she's doing, you know, when they say, like, less of this, more of that.
Oh, yeah. We had an absolute gas. But, I mean, recounting the whole thing with you and recounting it with Holly and Caroline in Nashville, I mean, that's probably it's so much fun just telling the story because then I get to really live it again. And it was I get to stand back and look at it and laugh a wee bit with it. So,
well, you're probably numb as you're coming out the door going, okay, what just happened?
Sure, I was like, I'm sure I looked like I just stepped out of a Twilight Zone episode or something like that. Yeah.
I know I was there, but I'm not sure what happened.
It was, it was really cool. You know, she's a lovely soul, and we got on well, and we exchanged numbers and such.
Oh, that's awesome.
Have you ever loved so much it kept you up some nights? I have, still do. Have you ever pinched yourself because it felt so right? I have, still do. I've never been too much for sentimental stuff. That's until I met you. I never knew I'd let my heart be ruled by love, but I did. Still do. Have you had days when you just want to stay in bed? I have. Still do. But one smile reminds me why I leave for work instead. It's easy when you want to. I've never been too much for sentimental stuff. That's until I met you. Never knew I'd let my heart be ruled by love, but I did. Still do. I can't believe I once believed that second best was the best I'd ever get for me. It's true you don't know what you've got until it's gone. I thank God for the pain that set me free. Oh, yeah. too much for sentimental stuff. But that's until I met you. I never knew I'd let my heart be ruled by love, but I did. Still do. Oh, I still do. Every time I look at you, baby, I still do.
Now, tell us about the rest of your Nashville. You're talking about Colleen, so talk to us about that.
Yeah, I think I wrote 7 on this trip. Caroline got in on 6 altogether, which is a really good week considering we wrote 3 days. We were busy.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday we took off, and I showed her some of the sights in town a wee bit, but it was nasty weather and raining. So we ended up coming back after lunch, mid-afternoon, and we went through all of the songs that we were going to record on the Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And we got ready for that. And then Chris Luzinger, the guitar player and the session leader.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris is not a household name, but he is to anybody in the industry. He's on every Garth Brooks record for over 33 years now.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah, he's a very good player. A wonderful soul, a wonderful man. We've been doing this for 8 years, Chris and I, so...
Nice.
He comes over to the place. We go through all the charts. We make sure everything's charted properly. And then I come up with some of my production ideas. Because 3 of the songs, the morning session was all Caroline singing. And I conveyed some of, as a producer then, I got my producer hat on. It's different than the writer hat.
Mm-hmm.
And then I convey some of the things. And then you figure out the instrumentation. You figure out who's playing where, what instrument you want on. Doing the fills here, the fills there, who's taking the solo. So you do all the assignments that way. Chris writes all the notes.
Mm-hmm.
And then Chris, if he has a suggestion, he's great with me. And he has absolute, you know, freedom to be able to share what he hears and what he thinks. That doesn't work with a lot of producers won't do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's their way or the highway kind of thing. And I've never been like that. I think I'd be a bit stupid to do that. You have a guy with that experience on how many hit records for how many people.
Exactly.
You know, like Hal Ketchum and Crystal Gayle and Garth Brooks. And I mean, it's a list that's giant.
Mm-hmm.
And he's playing guitar and all these things. I mean, he's a very smart man. He's not an idiot. And so when he says, I was thinking about this, or I might have a lick here. I was thinking about playing this lick off. Because he listens to them as he charts.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll give me an idea what he has. And I go, okay, and what if he went da-da-da-da? And so sometimes we brainstorm something, or sometimes Chris comes up with something and he plays it, and I go, holy jumpins, man, that's it. Perfect. And then we go in the next morning. We go to Walmart. They have big grocery stores at Walmart, and you buy groceries because I feed everybody. When we're doing a full-day session, I bring lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And everything's got to be healthy or my wife hurts me. So my wife's a doctor, so everything's got to be on the up and up. So everybody gets, I take just a little wee bit of the dirt food, but mostly it's all really healthy meats and cheeses, no additives and juices and fruit and vegetables and, you know,
mm-hmm.
just enough snack food to make it fun.
So, she's taking care of you from a distance.
And then we start playing, and that's when, you know, the producer guy comes in and I sit down and I'm, work with the engineer. We all get on well. And each song, you know, you present the song, you tell them what it's about a little bit, the sound that I want to capture. And then they all have their charts. Chris has handed everybody a chart. And then basically I play them on an iPad, the iPad demo that we have. And it'll be me or Caroline singing. And in this case. And they go through the chart. And then we talk about who's playing what and where. There's notes on everything. And then they sit down and we start to play in about 2 minutes.
Nice.
We get the tempo squared away with the drummer first, with Dennis Hull. Dennis has freedom to move the tempo a couple either way, just to find the sweet spot for the groove. That's his job. That's his only job. Play drums, but find the groove. Find the right spot. Because every song has a perfect spot.
Mm-hmm.
And he finds that. I have it close. But I'm not the expert at finding the perfect spot here.
That's why you work with them. Mm-hmm.
Beg your pardon?
I said, that's why you work with them. When you get used to somebody who knows you so well and you know him,
yep.
And that trust and that's built there, you know, is going to be great.
The first thing that I told him when I had just met him 8 years ago, Dennis, I'm a bass player. I love playing it with drummers like you. I love it. And I know that there's a sweet spot for the song in here somewhere, and we're close to it. But if you hear it move, needs to move a beat or two here or there, you've always going to have that freedom. Mm-hmm. He just looked at me and said, man, that's awesome. Thanks.
Nice.
And he does it. Sometimes I'm right on it on the demos, but more than not, it moves a beat or two.
He's got a good ear. Great ear.
And then even on this past one of the songs we were doing in the afternoon session that I was singing, one of mine, and Chris spoke up, and I was thinking, this feels a little bit rushed, just a little crowded in here lyrically to get everything in. And then Chris says, Dan, how are you feeling about the tempo? And we're about to lay it down permanently. We ran it once. And I said, it just feels a wee bit quick. What do you think, Chris? And he's like, that's what I was thinking. And Dennis is like, do you think it should move? And I said, I'd like to try it a couple anyway, Dennis, would you? And so he did. And then we played it for 10 seconds. Everybody's like, yep, that's it. Let's go.
Nice.
They're very, very good. My team is amazing to work with. They're all good people.
You must have so much fun when you go.
Than I can even count.
You must really enjoy it when you get to go to Nashville, and just because it's different there. Like the writing there, it's not like we talk about this on the show often. When you're going to Nashville, it is just such a different experience writing and getting work done in a very short, compact period of time. And what you get done is insane in comparison to what you do when you come back home.
Well, everything in Nashville, that when I'm down, I mean, it's a work week.
Mm-hmm.
You come home tired.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you're immersed in music. Your conversations, you know, having supper with Caroline, we're talking music. We're talking about the latest song.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sitting with Chris, we're talking music. The next, you know, studio, all the writing. Everything is music.
Down there with a purpose.
At 10 o'clock,
and
9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, you're ready to fall down, because then you get up and do it again.
Yeah. Get a lot done in one week.
And writing songs, if you're writing well, I find them, they take an emotional toll.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bit of a price you pay emotionally, and it's not a bad thing, but it drains you a little bit emotionally, and then you just charge up overnight, and you're ready to go again.
I'm going to ask you something. Is there a song in your lifetime, like when you were younger, that moved you emotionally so much that's when you knew that's exactly what you wanted to do, and that was write music?
I don't know. I started writing when I was 10.
Is there an artist, and a song that really moved you?
I actually wrote my first song at 10 for my mom.
I remember that.
I recorded it on an old album a few years ago.
Something Like You, right?
Someone Like You.
Mm-hmm.
And, I did. But I could tell you about songs that have spoken to me in the last, you know, in my lifetime. One of them that immediately comes to mind was If Tomorrow Never Comes by Garth Brooks.
Oh, yes. What a great song.
That's the last song my mom heard me sing. She requested it. She was coming to hear me play, and my mom was dying of cancer. And she was coming to hear me play the next day. She calls me on a Saturday, like at supper time, 5:30 or whatever at night, and says, have you heard that Garth Brooks song? And yeah. I said, no. She said, you need to play it. Can you try and get it? See if Chris will play. We had a cousin, Chris, who cradged you at Peterborough FM, 105 FM in Peterborough, and I called in. I had the booth number, so I called right into the DJ's booth, and he played it for me. And back in those days, you know, you recorded it on a cassette,
mm-hmm.
and I spent the next couple of hours learning the song and writing the words out, and I played it the next day for my mom. So that one means a lot to me, and she heard it the next day. I played it for her. Told the guys in the band, look, this is a new Garth Brooks song, and if you've heard it, great, fall in. If you don't know it, don't worry about it. I'll just play it on the acoustic. The band came in on cue right where it comes in on the recording that Garth did, and so I was very honored to do that.
What a special song.
Yep, song by Kathy Mattea. Where Have You Been?
I forgot about that one. Mm-hmm.
I totally lost it.
Oh, wow.
I was playing in a rockabilly band the odd time in Peterborough. And the leader was a fellow named Jersey Joe Henderson, who's no longer with us, but he was great at what he did. He was friends with Ronnie Hawkins, and he was part of that whole rockabilly scene.
Mm-hmm.
And Joey said, there's a song out by Kathy Mattea that you need to hear. I said, yeah? 18 Wheels and a Dozen Roses? He said, yeah, that's the girl. That's not the song. I don't know what it's called, he said, but I guarantee you, when you hear it, you don't know that's the song I'm talking about, Dan. A couple weeks later, driving around Peterborough, I think I was coming back from shopping or something. Song comes on the radio. I lost it so hard, I had to pull over. I couldn't drive.
Wow.
I was so moved when I heard that.
See,
I had a friend's wife, an older friend from church, and I loved him. He was like my uncle that I never knew, right? He was like a second grandfather. And his wife was dying of Alzheimer's. And right at that time, so it just really hit me. So that one really spoke to me as well. I mean, I could probably do this all night if I took time, but I mean, those two are the two that come to mind.
Nice, because it makes such a difference in the kind of writer you become. What you tuned into, what moved you, because, you know, everybody's different when it comes to their creativity and what drives them musically. And yeah, that's really cool to know. That's really great.
It's not uncommon for me to be in the studio or in a write, and I don't even care who's in the room, but there's an old saying, when God squeezes my heart, my eyes leak.
Nice. There you go.
And I'm one of those guys. I get moved to the point of tears, and I try to keep it together, not look like a total idiot, but when something moves me that much,
I'm like,
and that's
that.
When I know that I'm doing something right,
mm-hmm.
when we're on the right track.
Yeah, I'm like that too.
I don't try and get there on purpose. It just every now and then it happens. Or if I'm singing in the studio, especially up here, I do all my vocals in Canada at my friend Andy Thompson's place at the Dublin Music Studio out by Warkworth, and I have to stop. I'll just say, I just need a minute, Andy. And he knows exactly what I mean. And then I get it together, and then I can go about singing it.
Very cool. You've got so many credits to your career. Is there something that really stands out with everything that you've accomplished so far? What is your favorite moment today?
My favorite moment?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. I remember playing at the Sky Dome. Well, that's what it was called back then. That was kind of cool. First gig I did was South Mountain. After I signed on with South Mountain, the front row had a couple of guys and their wives from the Tommy Hunter Band.
Oh, wow.
The Tommy Hunter Show, sitting in the front table. I'll never forget that one. I was scared bleepless, but...
That would be nerve-wracking. Yeah, definitely.
I remember that one. I remember the first time I was going out on a big TV show. And, well, big. It was the Ottawa Valley. It was said, remember, you're playing live before 3.7 million people. Please be professional. I turned around and went back in and threw up and brushed my teeth.
I can't imagine. Do you get really nervous?
I'm telling you all these things. Oh, my gosh.
Do you really get nervous before you go on stage? Still?
No, not as much as I used to. I still do get nervous, but as soon as I get on stage, there's this other guy, I'm home. I just feel comfortable, and I'm at peace, and I know what I'm doing.
That's nice when you get to that stage in your career where you're just playing for the love of playing, because so many people, so many young artists out there, the drive and the dream that they chase so hard in the beginning is just to be on a tour bus, to, you know, get out on the road, get to the big stadiums, and that's all they focus on. And they forget, you know, a couple years down the line, they'll all sit there and say, you know what, they get so frustrated with themselves chasing, you know, that radio single, and they forget the whole reason why they got behind that career to begin with. And I think it's so important, you know, as advice for young artists out there. What advice would you give them?
Exactly what you're talking about. Forget about the hit.
Mm-hmm.
Forget about trying to make a hit. Try to make the best song you can make.
Yeah.
We've gotten ourselves into a bit of a pickle, I think, particularly in Canada. I'm a kitchen guy. I like the kitchen. I grew up on the farm in the kitchen.
The landscape of music's changed a lot.
I think we've got ourselves into a bit of a conundrum in just in North America in general. I mean, we kind of went after the hit, and they started everything for a while was let's get drunk and throw up in the car and smoke a joint and have sex on the tailgate. And it just was kind of like there for a while. And I'm like, guys, and gals, like, hang on. Mm-hmm. You're going to find out that's not all that important in life. There's some bigger stuff that we could talk about. And so, you know, like Brett Kissel did a song a few years ago that I liked, that it was dealing with cancer. I'm not in love with your hair.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
So once you start thinking about things that are worth writing about, instead of just trying to glorify, let's get drunk and throw up in the car all the time. I mean, that gets old quick.
It does.
And the States went through it for a while too, but everybody's in, they called it bro country and all of that. And they're kind of coming around now. The States have been concentrating on writing good songs again and getting into better quality and caliber of songs. Don't be afraid if there's a steel guitar in it or a fiddle in it. Don't be afraid of that.
And you'll hear so many of the artists come out and say, like, they love the steel guitars coming in now. Like, everybody's getting back around. I think with COVID and a lot of the younger artists too, they really went and experimented a lot. Like, I know that they started building their studios in their own place, experimenting with different sounds that they hadn't been exposed to before, or may have, but just never thought about putting into their own music. And they were really looking at music differently as independent artists.
Well, and indie artists, the nice thing is that we have freedom. I used to be signed to a label, but we had pretty good freedom. We were with, you know, Sony playing Holger Peterson there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Holger's a great guy, and he gave us pretty much all the freedom we needed to make our own music. And he didn't tell us how to do it. He liked us for who we were. He wasn't trying to make us who he thinks we should be.
Which is awesome. That's rare.
And the big labels. I was just talking to a lad. Case in point, here I am, Nashville. Caroline and I are singing. It's 6:30 at night. We're thinking about going out to eat supper soon. Knock on the door, and we look at each other. Oh, crap, are we too loud? And there's this lad at the door, and he says, I'm just going by, and I heard you guys singing, and I stopped to listen. You guys are great. This is a good song, and you guys are crushing it. And we invite him in. He's 17.
Wow.
He just signed to Atlantic Records with a big signing bonus at 17.
Wow.
And he was so kind, so loving, so gentle, such a humble kid, definitely raised right. He was there with his mom. She was up in the room. He was just coming by from getting something. Anyway, we chatted for 40 minutes. He played us a song that's on hold with, you know, somebody that you'd know, Tim McGraw, I think it is, and played us this cool song, and just Caroline and I are sitting there, and we're like, holy jumpers, are you kidding me? 17.
Really
buddy.
Talented.
He said, yeah, what do you think? I said, I think you should cut it, and I think you should cut it just the way you sang it, and don't let them tell you not to cut it. If you can get it, do it. I think it's a great song. And then we just talked for a bit, and he asked me if I had any advice. I said, yeah, just stay honest to who you are. Don't let them twist you into a pretzel, and don't let them put you into something that you don't want to be part of.
Mm-hmm. That cookie,
life's too short.
That cookie cutter changes all the time, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just be who you are. Be the kid that we just heard, you know, 10 seconds ago. And so basically we left exchanging contact information. We're going to write together.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's very cool. He's a good kid.
Oh, wow. What's his name?
He was a good kid.
What's his name?
I can't even remember right now. It's written down. Kylie, I think, is his first name. Kylie.
Now I have to remember that. I have to remember that. I have a lot that come from Nashville that are on the show, and a lot from the UK and Australia too. So we got a lot of artists
I'll get it from Caroline. She wrote it, the whole thing down. She got all the information and we're gonna actually get together, the three of us, and
that'd be awesome.
Connect up.
Yeah.
When you hear this kid, you'll like just shake your head. 17, really? Are you kidding me?
Wow.
Yeah, he's definitely an old soul.
You've got a bit of blues that I hear in your music. Where does that come from for you?
Well, I grew up listening to Buck and Merle and George.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we moved into town when I was a teenager, and then I got exposed to things like the Beatles and the Stones and then the Eagles, which I absolutely loved, and started to sing all of their stuff.
Cool to hear you sing
everything,
that.
Everything kind of started to open up to me. The world, musical world, became a lot bigger, and I started to go all over the place with it. Then when I came to Peterborough as a young man, I came off the road. I'd been on the road a couple of years. I was playing, funny enough, in an Irish band that played pop and soft rock and blues, not blues, but, you know, country, a little bit of everything. It was a show band.
Mm-hmm.
And a good Irish singer, and I learned a lot from him. And when I got to Peterborough, I was trying to get a gig. And there was a blues band that was looking for a bass player, which is my main instrument. And so I went over, have you ever played in a blues band? I said, no, I don't know much about it, but I'm pretty quick study on the bass. Play me something, and I'll see if I can follow it. And they played some stuff, so I started to play along, and I got the job. It was Rick Fiennes,
oh, wow.
Gary Peoples, Alan Black. These guys went on to become Jackson Delta.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, great blues men. And we had a great band. Brian Holzman was in the band, and it was a good five-piece blues band, a lot of dances. And so I cut my teeth playing with some guys that had dedicated their lives to playing blues.
Oh, that's awesome.
Then I got playing with Buzz Thompson in Peterborough and Bobby Watson, who is to the blues guitar what, you know, like Eric Clapton is in his part of the world. I mean, Bob is just brilliant.
So much great Canadian talent.
Bobby's the kind of guy that Eric Clapton would sit and look at and go, hey, that's cool. That's, like, very good. Because he is.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to play with guys like that. And then I was doing harmonies and singing, and you pick up, you know, that. I was Colleen Peterson's band leader for a number of years. And Colleen's got some good blues chops, had some good blues chops in her voice. And we used to sing well together. And so I picked up some stuff off of Colleen as well.
It's interesting. And it's interesting when you listen to, you know, the different voices. And your background is just so extensive, who you've played with, who you've written with. And, you know, it's so amazing to be able to hear that history behind it.
Mm.
And
funny enough, this year I won in the best blues jazz category at the Red Carpet Awards in Holland for a song that was a demo that I submitted. I thought, well, I've got this song. I don't know what to do with it. I'll let it get entered into that category there. So I submitted, they asked me to submit some songs. So I did.
Nice. Is that Pot of Gold?
I had all my Nashville guys playing it, playing this blues song called Superpower.
Oh,
and then
okay.
I had Jim Hoke, a friend of Chris Luzinger's, do the whole horn section. So I did a whole horn section on it.
Wow. Yeah, I have to hear that.
If you look at Jim Hoke, his starts with like Paul McCartney, Elton John. I mean, his list of, it's just crazy who he's played with.
But I'd like to rescue you. If there's anything you need, I can read your mind. I can bring the mood and magic in the nick of time. 'Cause baby, love's my superpower. As a bullet or a train, I can't leap over buildings, but I'll jump, just call my name. If you'll accept the gift that keeps giving every day, I promise you a lifetime, 'cause the force is strong in me. Baby, love's my superpower. We'll be right back.
You also won a Song of the Year with Central Ireland station called Pot of Gold. Tell us about that one.
Well, it's nominated. I haven't won with it yet, but it's nominated. I've got three songs nominated over there in Central Ireland. Pot of Gold, I got kind of in a bit of a slump a few years ago. I'd had a bad motorcycle accident. I was on my bike coming home from the studio, actually. I'd sang a song that was going out and to radio, and I was feeling good. I was coming home. I was only doing like 75, 80 kilometers on an 80-kilometer road up by just before Campbellford, 10 minutes, and an older chap didn't see me, and he turned in front of me, and I drove through the rear end of a car with my right leg.
Ooh.
I thought it was dead, but it worked out okay. So, you know, I had some sewing up that they did, and then I had to be in physio for the next couple of years, and I had to learn how to walk again, and it was a tough few months. The long and the short of that, I was sitting here, and I had a bit of a writing slump. I didn't feel like writing. I'm trying to figure out what the heck I'm supposed to be doing in life, and I was just doing the old pity party, woe is me. Now, I'm saying that knowing that I have a great wife, some great kids, one left at home, and a great little doggy. I mean, it's a pretty good life. We have a pretty good house. There's, you know, we're doing all right. But I was just feeling down. For whatever it was, I decided to throw myself this pity party for a couple of weeks. Finally, I made a decision. Okay, I got to get out of this. What am I going to do? I don't know. I'm going to do some homework. So I started to study Townes Van Zandt.
Oh, wow.
And I read everything I could about Townes Van Zandt, the writer, and listened to his music, anything I could find about him, any interviews that he did. It's hard. Townes was a troubled soul. He was seriously had trouble with alcohol and addictions, but he was a brilliant writer. He'd lock himself in a room for 3 days and wouldn't come out except for a pot of coffee and a pack of cigarettes and the odd bit of something to eat, right? And that's what he did. And he was just, and he was sleeping on people's couches and just, but he was a brilliant, brilliant writer.
Wow.
And so I'm studying this man and I'm studying it and I listened to all the music he came up with. And I was thinking like, man, life could be a whole lot worse. I'm really glad I am where I am.
There you go. Puts it in perspective.
I forgot about it. I liked learning about Townes. I'd had, and I have even more respect for him, knowing all the demons he was fighting all the time. But then about a week later, one day I had this idea for Pot of Gold, and I picked up my guitar and I sat down and I wrote it in like 20 minutes.
Really?
I put it on the iPad and then I forgot about it. And then this is like a few years ago. This is like 4 or 5 years ago. So then here I am last year looking for a song, for an extra to put on the next session. And so I just needed one more song, and I thought I'll put one of mine on this. So I went through my library, and I'm going through, and I usually do it on the big computer, but I happen to be doing it on the iPad, and I looked through some of my little writer's demos segment, and I was like, Pot of Gold, what the heck are you? And I listened to it, and all the hairs in the back of your neck stand up, and you're like, I think this is it. So I took it down and I did record it, and it came out very well. It's just about, it's instead of, you know how we talked about chasing hit songs, and how you should maybe just surrender that, give that up, and just write good songs. Well, Pot of Gold is like, why should I go running around after rainbows? Because I'm already sitting on a pot of gold.
Nice.
And it's just that.
Brings you like, back. Brings
my
you
family.
Back. Yeah, that's nice.
You know, I got everything I need. I just have to remind myself. And so that's what that song's about.
Like there's no tomorrow, spending their lives trying to have it all, never satisfied, So they beg, steal, or borrow, trying to get ahead before their time is gone. Treasure comes in lots of shapes and sizes. The best things in life can't be bought or sold. Why should I run chasing rainbows when I'm sitting on a pot of gold? I've been a rambling man. Never tried to see just what I had. Almost lost it all, fighting quicksand. I couldn't get up until I chose to stand. Treasure comes in lots of shapes and sizes. Best things in life can't be bought or sold. Why should I run chasing rainbows when I'm sitting on a pot of gold? It took a while to see I've riches untold, 'cause I'm sitting of gold.
Brings it into perspective too, you know, with everything that you were going through, because sometimes just going through something so traumatic and having to sit back.
I think I was half depressed and half pissed off, to be honest.
Yeah.
Or ticked off. Mm-hmm. I mean, just frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
I lost my motorcycle. I loved riding my motorcycle. I'm not a speed maniac or anything. I just loved riding my motorcycle.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing like
it. I could do and get on and go for a run for an hour, and I could get off of that and go, yeah, that was good. It's like
that's your
I love
calm.
Fishing. It's the same being out in the lake fishing. I don't care if I catch a fish. I just like being out in the lake.
Same here. Same here. That's my calm. And that's something I passed down to my son, because I would take him every year. We'd go for 2 weeks, and all we did was go out first thing in the morning. And like we were on the lake as sunrise was coming up, we'd come back in and we'd do other things. You know, I would do other things with him, and then we'd be back out again for sunset.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, I
think that's great.
Yeah, it's a calm, great place.
We have a nice place up north. There's a family cottage up there, and we've got a little trailer on the lot next door. And we're probably at some point going to build something. You know, good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, is the old southern saying. So we just like it. Emmy likes it, I like it, Noah loves it.
Nice. Those are just, I don't know, it's just, I think life just got too complicated. And the simplest of things is what brings us the peace. And if we can just remember that along the way, you know, and take out the noise, and that's just how I live. And like, I'm the opposite to most people. I am very simple.
Perfect. I mean, I believe that. I believe it so much. One of the songs that I did best with in Canada and in the world actually was a song called Simple Things.
Mm.
And you actually just said that.
Nobody knew how to function, because you're so busy in life, so fast paced. Nobody thinks and takes a look around them. They don't even remember that the people, you know, half the time, the people that are so important to them, they don't even see anymore. And then when COVID happened, everybody had a reset, but they didn't know how to function for the first several months.
No, I mean, it was good for us. Sort of, kind of, because we're homebodies a little bit anyway. And when we do go out, we really go out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Emmy and I like to go dancing.
Oh,
and we were
that's
doing that
awesome.
Once a week. We were getting out and dancing because we just like to dance.
Mm-hmm.
And then that hurt, so we lost all of that. But the first line of Simple Things is, never miss the chance to go dancing across the kitchen.
Nice.
And so we learned how to dance around the kitchen table.
That's what we did.
See?
The chance to go dancing across the kitchen, as priceless as the value of a smile. It won't hurt your pride to wash the dishes. Good days don't have to be once in a while. Say a lot, especially Sunday mornings. Bow your head when you lay down at night. Remember where you come from. When it's all said and done, it's the simple things that make a good life. Take the time to kiss half a second longer. Pay it forward every time you get the chance. Play water guns and dolls, laugh at breakfast. It's okay to share who wears the pants. Be slow to anger, quick to say you're sorry. Don't be wrong, insisting you were right. Remember where you come from, 'cause when it's all said and done, it's the simple things that make a good life. Dancing across the kitchen. We're only here for a little while. Really, it's not all that complicated. It's the simple things that make a good life. Simple things make a good life.
I have to go to a club sometime with you two, and like just a local bar or something. And
that would be fun.
That would be so awesome. I would really
enjoy
that.
Does your hubby like to dance?
Yes.
Good.
Yeah, definitely. That's one thing. That's how we met. And, you know, when he would come over for dinner, I didn't want any TVs on or anything. I just played music and danced. And he wasn't used to that.
We'll just sit in bed and we'll just go through different music things, and she'll have something she heard and she'll tell me, or I'll have something that I'll play. And so Emmy didn't have a lot of exposure. My wife didn't have a lot of exposure to country, not to the way, to the degree I have. And so she's absolutely fallen in love with, like, Keith Whitley, you know, the late great
Oh
Keith
my
Whitley.
Goodness, yes.
Right?
There's
and
nobody
like
better.
Some of the music that we listen to, and she's caught it, you know.
Mm.
She's got the bug. If she knows what's good and bad, I mean, she already did. But when Keith Whitley comes on, I mean, everything changes for her.
One
she also is a huge Dolly Parton fan, particularly the old Dolly stuff.
We were talking about your wife's choice in music. I'd love her to listen to Katie Hurt.
Katie Hurt?
Mm-hmm. She's from England. Hurt.
Okay.
And I guarantee you, there's some of her older stuff, and she sounds so similar to Dolly, and I've had her on the show a couple times, and I fell in love with her as soon as I heard her. She is just something special. I'll send you the name of the song I want her to listen to. She is so talented, this girl. Really talented. I bet you she'll really like her. It's just two songs that, you know, this is something that really gravitated her to the award shows. And now she's recording here in Canada. So,
and where is she from originally?
England.
Oh, England. Okay.
Yeah. So it'd be interesting to see what you think of her. She's really good. Really good.
Okay, I'll listen to her. I've got her up on my iPad right now.
Now, we got to talk about the Christmas song. I love this song. Really. It takes a lot for me to gravitate to new Christmas music. So I love the classic and, you know, just some favorites of mine, just because of my parents, right?
But yeah, of course.
Christmas in the Country is so special.
It's a nice song. It's a family song for me.
It's a really good one. It's one of those traditional songs that I could listen to for years and years and years to come.
Oh, well, thank you, Kim. That's nice of you to say.
Yeah, it's such a good one.
My publisher in Nashville said, a good Christmas song is a gift that keeps on giving, Dan. Never forget that.
Well, I think it's just like there's staples, right? You know, when you're listening to it.
I've got a couple really sad ones. I don't know why, but I seem to be a masterful at writing sad and forlorn lyrics. But I've got a song called How Do I Do Christmas Without You, and we did a good job of it. And it's being played, so I'm getting two of them played regularly in the UK and Ireland. It's a good song. Wrote it with Sally Barris. I had it two-thirds done, and then Sally Barris, my next trip to Nashville. Mm. I saw her at a thing. I was closing out the old, a place they were closing, the last dive bar in Music Row, and John Scott Sherrill asked me to come down and sing. And it was, Bobby's Idle Hour. And they were shutting it down. Now, they've opened it up in another spot, but they were shutting down this one. And this is a place where you'd find, like, John Cash or Bob Dylan. All these songwriters are going to hang out after writing in town during the day.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, really, the poster child for dive bars. I mean, but all the songwriters went there.
Nice.
So I was closing it out, and I said to Sally, she happened to be there, and she was leaving, and I was just coming in. I was doing my spot. I said, Sally, I got a really sad, sad Christmas song. Do you want it? And I couldn't even finish the sentence. She says, I'm in. So we finished it.
Oh.
A week or two later.
Now, I want to be able to have you announce your Christmas song. Can you announce it for me?
I can. This is for anybody who's having a tough time at Christmas and who's alone, not because they want to be. And the song that I wrote a couple of years ago is called How Do I Do Christmas Without You?
Here it is, another silent night, but there's no warmth next to this firelight. There's no joy in the songs. Don't they know you're gone? This day's not feeling merry or bright. How do I do Christmas without you? I'm not exactly sure just how I should feel. I didn't know it'd be this hard. Reading Christmas cards, all addressed to me this year. How do I do Christmas without you here? Getting gifts should be fine, but an hour at the mall leaves me undone. Happy couples everywhere, love is in the air. Am I the only sad and lonely one? How do I do Christmas without you? I'm not exactly sure just how should feel. I didn't know it'd be this hard. Reading Christmas cards, all addressed to me this year. How do I
Christmas without you here.
Heard How Do I Do Christmas Without You by Dan Washburn. Such a special song. I love those kinds of songs. They mean so much to me. I'm like you. I got to feel it.
It was easy to write because I'd actually lived it. I'd spent some time alone.
Mm-hmm.
I was a single dad. I raising my kids, you know, I wasn't my choice.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just the way it went. And so I know what it's like to be alone at Christmas. It's pretty tough.
Yeah, it is.
And it can be, whether it could be from a relationship breakup, it can be from a death, it can be from whatever. But this song kind of capsulizes that, I think.
Oh, that's awesome. I just want to be able to, you know, get the fans to get to know you a little bit more, right? And that's why I wanted to dive in and be able to get into some of these stories and that.
Well, see, you're going to have to grab your partner. I'll grab Emmy and we'll go dancing somewhere.
There we go. Sounds good.
You might be forced to have a toddy or two.
I'm not going to complain. Well, we're going to play the song right now. We're going to play your new single, Christmas in the Country, by Canadian country artist Dan Washburn, here on Music's Journey.
Man, I love this old house, especially this time of year. Snow is blowing through the oak trees, youngin's grinning ear to ear. Mama's busy in the kitchen, making way more than we need. Feels like heaven by the fireplace, lights are twinkling on the tree. Pretty bows and pretty paper, pretty wonderful to me. It's Christmas in the country, when all the world is right. There's nowhere else on earth I'd rather be. And home, sweet home, making merry memories. Yet it's Christmas in the country. Christmas Eve we'll all be singing, jingle bells to silent night. Church bells will be ringing, everything is merry and bright. You see, Santa Claus is coming, Santa Claus is coming tonight. It's Christmas in the country, and all the world is right. There's nowhere else on earth I'd rather be. Home, sweet home, making merry Yeah, there's Christmas in the country. When it comes to Christmas wishes, there's just one thing on my list. Let's find a little mistletoe and steal ourselves a Christmas kiss. It's Christmas in the country, and all the world is right. There's nowhere else on earth I'd rather be. Making merry memories, yeah, that's Christmas in the country. Christmas in the country. Man, I love this old house.
Nothing better than a Christmas song like that. That was Christmas in the Country, the new single by country artist Dan Washburn. Don't forget, you can download it on your streaming platforms. You can add it to all your playlists. You also can request it at your local country radio station. Now, you have been working on some new music, I hear.
I've always got a dozen, 15 songs on the go in various, you know, shapes or states and forms.
Do you have one that you're going to be releasing soon?
Yeah, I'm working on three. I just sang the vocal to the one I think it's going to be the next release yesterday.
Okay.
I wrote it with a buddy of mine, Casey Carter, and he's going to be recording it as well. But I think I'm going to release it if he's good with that, because he's going to be a while before he's ready to do anything. He's got some other songs that are very, very good that we're working on, and we're going to be going down, I think, in February and finish producing that album. Which is something I'm doing a lot more as I'm producing, which is, I guess, a good thing. I mean, I like it. I enjoy it. The one that I'm going to be releasing is kind of a good old boy, kind of a feel-good song. And it's just a guy's bragging on his partner. You know, he's like, how could you not fall in love with a girl like that? How could you not? I mean, it's just, and then the song basically goes about describing this particular woman, and she's a handful, but she's the right kind of handful, right? And I took the liberty of using some phrases that I wouldn't normally use to describe a person, but they all work and they're all cool, and the band dug in, and they really dug it, and they really worked at it, and the track is just going to be great.
Oh, that's nice.
I brought a steel guitar player in on the session, and so Chris called Bruce Bowden from Garth Brooks Band, of course, from a guy that's played all these hit records with Garth, and he played lap steel on it. Actually, what he played was a Fender Strat laying on his lap. So it was incredible how he went about it, and the sounds were great, and so the track is a pretty... It's a pretty flat-out, see you at the end, go. It's wide open. Yeah, it's a good track. It's going to be fun.
What's the name of the song?
A Girl Like That.
Oh, okay. Very cool. Going to watch out for that one. Do you know roughly when you're going to be releasing it?
Probably in the new year, like January, February.
Okay.
I'm thinking.
So that means you're going to come back on the show, and we can share some more stories, and we can play that one.
Absolutely.
Looking forward.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun little track. As one of the guys said in the session on Friday, man, we got some stank on that one.
Well, the more stank, the better, right?
Oh, yeah, but the right kind, right?
That's right. It's got to be the right kind.
No, it was very good. It was fun to do. And then I'm singing it with that raspy kind of Chris Stapleton meets Dan Washburn voice.
Oh, see, Chris Stapleton, you see, you're talking to my heart now.
Cause, I like Chris a lot.
Oh, he's my favorite. Well, Keith Urban was, and I shouldn't say was, but, you know, I don't know what it is about Chris Stapleton. Between the two of them, they're my all-time favorites.
Chris has got that blues vibe going on all the time.
Yeah. I love the blues. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, well, obviously, if you and so, and Keith has got this really cool, crispy, clear, poppy voice.
Mm-hmm.
And so the other extreme would be Chris.
Yeah, and I think too, it's Keith Urban. I know his story, and I think it's just the way that he lives his life and how he cares so much for his fans. And that's what got me to listen to more of his music. And I really started to appreciate how talented, you know, he really is. And, you know, he's just a great person all the way around. So that's what I'm going to gravitate to. And then the same thing with Chris.
Yeah. Mm. There's a guy I'd love to be able to sit down with for an hour and write.
I just want to be in the room where he's just playing. I used to go to the Montreal Bistro in Toronto. And it's one of those places, just a little dive, you know, that nobody would go into. And that's when I got to hear Eric Clapton. And, you know, there's so many of the ones that I've listened to before they were playing in Toronto at the big arenas. And, you know, they only hold just 50 people.
Yeah.
And that's where you just, you're sitting directly in front of them. And it's, oh, loved that place. And I would love to be able to see Chris Stapleton like that.
Those are something when you can get there. I've always valued any kind of time that I get sitting with, like, whether it's natural royalty or anybody that I absolutely respect and admire.
Mm-hmm.
Just gotta, it's something just to be able to hear them do their thing and then to just sit. And then sometimes, you know, I've been very blessed. Sometimes I actually get to play and sing and write with some of them. So
pretty cool. You know who you would be good with? You know who you'd be good with is Dean Dillon.
Oh my gosh. I was down in Nashville last week and I was bragging on him to Caroline. I was saying there's a really cool documentary. You need to watch it. It's Dean Dillon. You got to watch it. It's on Netflix. Just if you can find it, just watch it. Watch it like three times in a row and three nights. Don't talk about it. Just watch it and just listen to and try and absorb as much as you can.
Yeah.
And there's a great recipe on how to write a song. What we should be is trained observers of life. A good writer. You should be listening and you should be watching.
Mm-hmm.
And then hopefully you should be experiencing some good things in life and then write about those things to be able to sit down with Dean Dillon and write something.
Yeah, he's working with an awful lot of Canadians as well, a lot of Canadian talent. But I had him on the show after watching that documentary just last year. And
you had him on the show?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Serious envy over here.
Yeah. Loved it. I want to do a second part because, like you were talking about the accents in Nashville, a lot of people were having a hard time understanding what he was saying. I could hear him. I understood. But when we had it on the radio station, you know, a lot of people were saying, I could hardly understand a thing he was saying. A lot of people had a hard time with the accent.
You got to lock in.
Yeah, you have to.
You really got to lock in.
His is very heavy.
Yeah, dude, whatever you need. You need a million? I'll find a million for you.
he is just one of those people that I could listen to in his stories forever. You know,
he's got them and he lived them.
Mm-hmm.
These aren't like just made up arbitrary little things. He actually lived all this stuff.
Well, his son is doing phenomenal in music, and so is his daughter, both very famous.
Well, they grew up in that environment.
Mm-hmm. I think
I don't know how many hits Dean's had with with George Strait, but
so many.
George Strait has more number ones, I think, than anybody in the planet.
I love his story about George Strait when he went into audition for George Strait.
Yeah.
That was on the documentary, and he was blowing smoke in his face.
And you can just see him doing it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And sitting there half smiling.
Oh, yeah. He's just like,
No, he's the real deal.
Oh, he's my idea of a country writer. Huge, huge fan I am of his. I liked it when they cut out to, you know, where he was just sitting in a local bar after all the stardom, after all the hype. And, you know, he started having to deal with the fact that he wasn't as good of a singer as what he would have been able to do with his music. So he was giving it to George Strait and so many of the others. And he accepted that part of his life. And that's where I'm better. So when he was sitting in these clubs and playing for smaller audiences, I was just glued. You could hear a pin drop in there, and it was, oh, loved it.
One of the stories I liked was Kenny Chesney.
Oh, yeah.
saying, he wanted to do one of your songs. Which one? That doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's where, I think it was a lot of things different.
Mm-hmm.
And there's and actually Dean had written that with, believe it or not, Bill Anderson, Whispering Bill Anderson. Bill is a, you know, he's got that whispering kind of voice, but a lot of people don't realize how good of a writer he was and how many hits he's had in the industry. Well, he is. The engineer at Hillcrest, where I record in Nashville, is John Nicholson, and John is doing live sound for Bill. Bill still goes out and tours the odd time.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets a studio engineer to mix sound for him because he's tired of all those dang sound engineers that don't know what they're doing.
Yep.
So, but I mean, I love that story that Kenny Chesney just went in and they just cut a song.
Yeah, it was really good. There's just so much about that documentary that I learned, and yeah, I could watch that one. I have actually, I've watched it several times. And just become more and more of a fan.
I think he's still in Tennessee,
isn't he? Mm-hmm. Very, very. I'm going to have to figure out how I can do it. I think he was in Miami. He was on his boat.
Yeah,
when I did the interview. And it was just like there's dogs barking in the background.
He's a very good writer. He's a good writer. Yeah. I would.
It was awesome.
He's at the top of my bucket list to write with.
All right. Now we got to talk about, you're going to be going to, you're going to be doing a cruise in February, I believe.
I think it's going to get canceled.
Oh no.
Yeah, I think it is.
How come?
That's what I hear. They don't have enough. If they don't have enough people lining up for the cruise, depending on the time of year you're doing it, then they'll shut it down and they'll rebook it.
Oh man. Well, so, that would have been exciting.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Ah, not good. Not good.
When I was in South Mountain, we were close to doing a cruise with, I think it was Tim McGraw and Faith Hill on one of these big cruises. I think it was them. I can't remember, but it ended up that we were already booked to do a tour in Europe, and we weren't going to cut a 6-week tour short, you know, to do a week cruise.
You should talk to Gil Grand and get you up on there with him. Like, they're doing that big cruise. There's a big country one that they're doing coming up.
I'd love to be a part of any of it.
Oh, there's some amazing, well, geez, there's so many. If you see who's going to be playing on that one, I would love to be on that cruise. It's a good one. Real good
when
one.
When is it, do you know?
I think it is February.
That's the right time.
Yeah. You'd have to check and look on his page again, because his bus tour that they were doing in Nashville is now has become a stage show.
And you said it was Gil Grand?
Yep.
Huh.
Because I just had him on in August, and we were talking about it.
That's the right time of year to be out of Canada.
Yeah,
exactly.
February, for sure.
I love my home, don't get me wrong. I love my home.
It's cold in the, yeah, no.
But there are times that in February I could be somewhere warmer. It wouldn't hurt my feelings much.
Okay, we got some burning questions, if that's okay, so we're going to do some rapid fire.
Okay.
All right. I know that you're a big sports fan. So who are some of your favorite players of all time?
What sport?
You tell me.
I loved Muhammad Ali.
Nice. Oh, I got a picture to send you.
I really liked Chuck Norris when he was a kickboxer.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill Wallace. Okay. Superfoot Wallace, they called him. Bill Wallace.
Okay.
I liked Jacques and Gilles Villeneuve, racers.
Very cool.
One road race snowmobiles, one race cars. And if you don't like Wayne Gretzky and Daryl Sittler, you need to leave the country.
Did you see Daryl Sittler? Did you see him with Boreal Salming?
With who? Borea?
Mm-hmm.
The picture, yeah, just before Borea passed.
Yeah, just when they did that tribute for him at the Maple Leafs game.
I've in my life, I've gone to a lot of hockey games. I've always loved going to see the Leafs, even though they weren't winning all the time. And
I'm still a big fan.
But if you're a Leaf fan, you're a Leaf fan. But I've always loved going to. I played hockey, a lot of hockey in my day.
Mm-hmm.
A lot in my day, and all of that. So
Daryl Sittler was one of my favorites. Always will be.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Class act.
Name something that you are irrationally afraid of.
That I am irrationally afraid of?
Yep.
My wife.
Now she's baking you those Christmas cookies. There goes, there's coal in your stocking.
She's making canned pies right in front of me, and she just looked at me and she pointed at herself, and I had to laugh because that was true.
Okay, so who was your celebrity crush growing up?
Oh, celebrity crush growing up. That's a hard one. I'm not. I think probably. There's an actress that I always admired her work, but I'd always thought she was a hottie. And she was in a movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger. Oh, what's her name? Reddish hair. I can't remember her name. Is that bad? Mm. But I always liked her.
Okay. Who's your wife's celebrity crush growing up?
My wife's celebrity crush? I don't know if she ever has one.
Oh, I bet you she does.
Have you got a celebrity crush? Not really. She's like shaking her head. Not really.
Not really. Not really. Okay.
She doesn't get excited about that stuff. She's that doctor, you know, mm-hmm. everything's, you know, okay. Very low key.
Okay. So tell us the most rebellious thing that you did as a kid or a teen.
The most rebellious thing?
Mm-hmm. I'm stripping back the layers. You can tell, right?
I was a pretty good kid. I mean, I grew up watching my brothers and sisters and my parents work, and the most rebellious thing I ever did, I think once I got a bottle of really cheap wine that we had talked some guy into going in and getting for us. We were camping in the backyard, and I drank it, and then I threw it all out, threw it all up. My mom comes to the door. She said, "What's the matter with you?" And I know that she knew. I know now. I mean, and I said, "I got the flu." She's okay. Well, you just keep your flu out in that tent. Glad you're dealing with it. She went to bed.
My brother,
so probably that.
My brother used to stick. He used to go. I don't even want to say this on air. He would go out and with a friend from the States, and we go camping at Manitoulin Island. We used to go for 3 weeks every year when we were kids.
Yeah, and, I love Manitoulin.
Yeah, and this young boy in the States used to get bloodsuckers, and they would take them and they would boil them. And it used to really upset me. And he would he'd take them and he'd put them in our hamburgers without us knowing.
Oh,
my brother
that's
was
pretty disgusting.
My brother was terrible. Yeah, very rebellious. I'm telling you.
Dang it.
I can't get him back. What did he end up doing to me? Okay, did you have a nickname growing up? And if you did, what was it?
I did. It was two of them. The newspapers, back when I was a boxer, the newspapers called me Danny Boy. And my friends called me Hammerhead.
Okay, so Danny Boy.
I could take a pretty good punch and it didn't faze me.
Oh boy. You know Muhammad Ali, I worked with in Mexico for 2 weeks.
You worked with Muhammad in Mexico?
Yeah.
You're killing me here.
Hands of Hope. I'll send you the picture. There was a bunch of us.
We're gonna sit down. We're gonna sit down and we're gonna have dinner or lunch somewhere and you're gonna swap stories.
Well, it was you'll love the story because, you know, he's just such an amazing, amazing man. And what I got to do with him, a group of us did from Canada here that went out to help him with Hands of Hope. It was amazing. Really enjoyed that
trip. I think he's an amazing individual.
Yeah. Yeah. Courage, boy. Courage.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Did you ever read the book, The Greatest?
Not yet.
Read it.
I haven't read
it yet.
It's
really worth it. It's worth the read.
There's a few I got to read. That's one of them. Okay. So one place that you would love to travel with your wife that you've never been, but it's on your bucket list.
I would love to take my wife to Holland.
Ooh.
And now to Ireland. Mm-hmm. I've been. She hasn't.
Nice.
She hasn't been to either of those places, but I would love to take her there.
Nice.
She's been to a lot of places in the world, but we were based out of Holland when I was with South Mountain in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it. I loved the people. And Ireland is, as we've discussed, is amazing.
What's your favorite memory when it comes to playing with South Mountain?
Well, there's a few of them. Like I probably the one of them is walking out the very first night I played with them and seeing the Tommy Hunter Show guy sitting in the front row.
Yeah, that like, would be
it's
it.
It's a great memory of terror. I mean, it's all combined. It's all in there.
Well, see, there you go. I forgot about that. You did tell me about that one. So that's that would do it. That would do it. Okay, so favorite holiday tradition?
I really like singing Christmas songs around the piano. Or the guitar or whatever is going. My wife's a good piano player.
Nice.
And I like it when we can do that kind of stuff, when we just sing.
Yeah.
I like, I love going to church on Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We got a lot in common. A lot in common. We really do. Favorite holiday song of all time?
Chestnuts Roasting.
That's mine. The Christmas song. That's mine. That's my favorite. Tony Bennett.
I also like a song that Mark Lowry wrote called Mary, Did You Know?
I don't think I've heard him sing that.
It's not really a Christmas song, but it's it's kind of like it's right in there.
There's so many. Silver Bells has always been another favorite of mine, but I also love, there's a song, my dad used to have this really old record player, and he had all these albums, really old albums, and he got rid of them. It just destroyed me after I heard that he'd done that, because I would have loved to have had them, but he had one in particular that he played that had all the Christmas songs on it that he loved, and one of them had Barbra Streisand singing the Lord's Prayer.
Oh my gosh, that would have been amazing.
And it still, to this day, I haven't heard anybody sing it the same as she could.
No, Barbra Streisand's an anomaly on the planet.
Yeah, loved it, loved it. Okay, so favorite holiday movie for the two of you?
Favorite holiday movie?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the last few years, it's been the Grinch.
Oh, the one with Jim?
Jim Carrey?
Yeah.
Yeah, and also Elf's pretty big here. So Noah's our youngest is 17, but he loves those movies still. He's grown up watching them, and so we watch them every year. I really still like the old Burl Ives, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Mm-hmm. I watched all those when I was
like
a kid.
I still like that. I actually, years ago, I did some business with the man that recorded all of those songs.
Really?
The Burl Ives songs. Oh. He recorded the soundtrack for that.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So he showed me some black and white pictures from back in the day. He was a Canadian fellow out of Toronto. He worked for the CBC. And they hired him through the CBC for the company in L.A.
Oh,
and they
really?
Flew him down there. And he recorded all of these because they liked how he was. Don't forget, they were working on half track. They were on 2 and 4 tracks.
Ah, okay.
He was just a master at bouncing music around and making everything. He was multi-tracking on very little track and bouncing it back and forth, and he was very good at it.
I'm just going to let all the fans know all that little chopping you're hearing. That's Dan's wife in the background.
Sorry. I think that's what is that? Now she's moved on to onions, pecans, or something is cooking. Now we're
all you can hear is
ready for the stuffing. I'm cooking the turkey, but she's doing the stuffing.
Oh, gotcha. Because we can hear all this chopping coming through every. Okay, so a favorite song you danced to on a date. Now, I wrote these questions up before I knew you two danced.
The favorite song I would dance to on a date?
Yeah.
Well, we like the two-step.
So what was the song? Do you remember the song that meant something to you when you guys were dating?
What song did we dance to, Emmy? Yeah, what was it? Can you remember it? Almost there. I can't remember it. There was one that my mom and dad, it was an old George Jones, Melvin Montgomery song. I was like in short pants, as they say in Ireland. I was still in short pants when that was last played. it's a really, really old song.
Okay.
I can't remember the name of it.
Well, if you do remember it, let me know. Okay.
Yeah.
Plans for New Year's?
No. Thank goodness.
He's going, no, I'm staying home.
Yeah.
I don't care. I'm staying home.
I've spent my life performing New Year's Eve shows. For the last few years, I haven't been.
It's a nice break.
I know the name of the song is We Must Have Been Out of Our Minds.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
It's old school.
Very good. Very cool.
It's old waltz.
I wanted to say thank you so much for coming on the show, and I look forward to having you back. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I want to wish you both such a wonderful, wonderful holiday season with your family.
The same to you and your family, Kim, and I look forward to when we get out to dinner and we're going to swap some tales.
Sounds good to me. I know I'm going to have to make sure that I'm ready for all my stomach muscles hurting. So, well, big hugs to you. And it's been such a pleasure to have you on the show finally.
Thank you, Kim.
All right. You take care. Okay. Bye. Happy holidays.
Yeah. Same to you. God bless.
Okay. God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
A great big thank you to my very special guest, Canadian country singer-songwriter Dan Washburn, for coming on the show. I've got some great shows coming up for you. I'm going to be doing some special two-part shows for some classic rock bands in January that you don't want to miss. I'll be speaking with Lighthouse, the Stampeders, and playing some of their greatest hits. I'm really looking forward to this. I'm going to be interviewing Brody Siepert, Eric Etheridge, Dan Davidson, the Hunter Brothers, Kadu, Aaron Allen, Weapons, Annika, Smoke and Ashes, Anthony Tulo, Fleischer, The Prairie States, and so many more. Don't forget you can check out all my shows that you don't want to miss at musicsjourney.com. You can also check out all the articles, new releases, new videos, and reviews at nowandthenmagazine.com. Well, that's it for me, your host, Kim Sear. Thank you so much for tuning in to Music's Journey, and have yourselves a wonderful day. I will catch you here next time on Music's Journey.